Mark Carter is executive advisor to the Cabinet for Health and Family Services, and he's in charge of the state's contact tracing efforts to try to contain the spread of the coronavirus in Kentucky. And he joins us to bring us up to date. Greetings, Mark.
Hello, Tom. It's nice to be with you.
So first, let's do come up to date on contact tracing. What's going on right now?
Well, as you know, the virus is spreading across Kentucky at a fairly rapid pace. And with the contact tracing effort, we've been making every effort to stay ahead of it. Our staffing has increased, is more than doubled, actually, since the virus entered Kentucky. We now have 860 people doing contact tracing across the state. And at the current time across the state, we're staying ahead of the virus.
And where are you seeing the fastest growth?
Well, it's been interesting. We've had some consistent hotspots. For example, Warren County, Bowling Green area, really from the onset of the virus has been a hotspot. But Jefferson County has as well, Lexington, Fayette, Kenton County up north. But we've also seen it in some of the rural counties and really emerging in Appalachia and Harlan and Bell counties. LaRue County has been a hotspot down in the western and in the Purchase area, Graves County. So it really is all over the state.
Earlier this week in one of the governor's daily briefings on the virus, Dr. Stephen Stack, the state health commissioner, made the point that
contact tracing, testing, and all those other things work when the disease is not common, when there's a few people who have it and you're trying to find ways to isolate them. When it's all over the place, like it is in the state right now, the other stuff doesn't work, and we have to take these more difficult steps like we have this week with the recommendation of the White House.
That was Dr. Stephen Stack, the state health commissioner. So how is this affecting your work?
Well, tracing is just part of the public health response, Tom. There's really four general areas that we focus on, one, of course, being testing, but the prevention aspect of it is face coverings or masks, social distancing, and then tracing. And when you look at tracing, it can only be effective if there's sufficient compliance with wearing masks and social distancing. If a significant percentage of the population doesn't comply with those recommendations, then the virus spread could quickly overwhelm the tracing effort. Now, what we've seen so far is that we have seen an increasing spread of the virus, and I think the congregate settings, whether those are in employers or nursing homes or bars, have been a contributor to the spread. So, taking that action to try to limit gatherings to 10 or fewer people, encourage using face masks or facial coverings, really is key to making the contact tracing effort successful.
Well, we went through one period of pretty severe restrictions and then began reopening, began easing up, people went on vacation and came back and so forth. Is it fair to say that we kind of wasted that first, it wasn't a lockdown, but that first effort to contain?
Well, I don't, I think that it might be fair to say that, but I'm a little reluctant to just give up and say that those measures weren't successful. The reality is that when you look at Kentucky compared to Florida or Texas or Arizona or California, our measures and the actions we took, I think, have kept us at a level of spread of the infection well below those states that were pretty much wide open. I think at least our hope is in the department that the measures that the governor took this week will help flatten out the spread and get us back to the point where, folks will wear the masks and distance appropriately. And when things do open back up, we'll be careful in those settings as well. And if we do that, I think that with the tracing effort and those other actions, we can keep this disease in check.
What are you hearing from your people when they contact people about tracing, are they meeting resistance or are people cooperative?
Generally, Tom, people are being cooperative. The anecdotal feedback coming back from the local health departments is that once they're able to reach the folks and explain why they're calling and what they need to do and the danger of the disease, that we're getting widespread compliance with requests for quarantine and other advice that the health department gives the contacts.
I know we talked about this before, but if you would, just touch once again on the privacy aspect of contact tracing.
Right. It's there are two things that we've been particularly careful about. One is privacy. When an individual tests positive for the disease, of course, the health department is notified, and a nurse from the health department will call the patient and speak with them. Once they inventory the contacts, that's handed off to a contact tracer, who then will call those individuals. During that call, they will not disclose the name of the person that has had the positive test or been diagnosed with COVID. The other aspect of this that we're concerned about, Tom, is fraud. And we've been making a considerable effort to get the word out that no one doing a disease investigation or a contact trace from a health department will ask for financial information, Social Security numbers, you know, bank accounts, that kind of thing, just won't be asked. And if you do get a call asking about those kinds of things from somebody purporting to be from the health department, you should hang up and call the Attorney General's hotline.
Mark Carter is Executive Advisor to the Cabinet for Health and Family Services, and he's in charge of the state's contact tracing efforts to try to contain the spread of the coronavirus in Kentucky. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Thanks for having me, Tom.